Okay. So this better be a good question, because this is going, this is going to be recorded in perpetuity.
Flex on the road.
Perpetuity is a very good word. I like that word.
Let's hear it.
When was it that he was upset that he was like that he thought he was disrespectful, or was he impressed that he had?
When he wanted to, when he wanted to kill him?
Oh, he wanted to kill him.
Well, I don't know if it's like he wanted to, or if it's just
no, he was impressed. He was impressed. He wanted to look at the kid and see who this kid was.
Because it seems like with the thing that happened with Reish Lakish, he was angry. Like,
yeah, he wanted to kill him.
Yeah.
So if he was impressed with the boy, like,
I think he was.
Why was the mother so?
Well, I don't know. I mean, if you were the mother of such a child, would you start cheshbitting? Like, well, maybe. I mean, it could be that he's just impressed. You know, let's leave little Moshe and see what he, you know, see what happens to him.
I mean,
if he goes, he goes. You know, that's what happens. You know,
considering he looked at Reish Lakish with a face like John Ferguson of Canadians or.
I don't know
Dave
the reference.
The
reference
of the Flyers,
or Mike Schmidt of the Phillies.
No.
Yeah, that's a reference I know.
No. I'm talking.
Here we go.
Okay.
Very good. Here we go. Here we go. We are on. Okay. So what we had last learned was the story about Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam. The fact that they were the parnasim of Klal Yisrael with the Be'er, with the Ananei HaKavod, with the Man. And Hashem mentioned, Va'achid ha-shloshes ha-roim b'yareich echad. I will destroy, I will get rid of the three roim, the three shepherds in 1 month. And the Gemara played off of that and saying, well, how is that true? It's not true. And the Gemara says, well, really ultimately, Moshe was the three rowing because he was the one who was holding up the fort. Anyway, the Gemara continues on that. Based on that, the Gemara brings down the following story. We are currently at the third line. We start with Rav Huna bar Manoach. The third line from the end of Testament Aleph, I apologize. Third line from the end of Testament Aleph. So, the Gemara says, Rav Huna bar Manoach, Rav Shmuel bar Idi, Rav Chia mi Vastina, Havushchichi kame de Rava. They were frequent by Rava. I lost callus. What happened to my callus, kid?
Maybe the kids, at the chasana.
It could be that he's at the chasana. Maybe they just don't like my jokes. The kids don't get my jokes. Okay, anyway, the three of them, what? It is an acquired taste, indeed it is.
Maybe he's afraid. My
wife, after 18 years, is still complaining. Is still complaining. So it is an acquired taste. So
maybe he's afraid. You'll look at him the way Rabbi Yochanan.
No. When I'm impressed, I don't kill people. Anyway, Havushchichi kamei derava. They were frequent by Rava. They were big talmidim of Rava. And kinoch nafshi de Rava, when Rava passed away, also the kamei de Rav Papa. They came to Rav Papa. Rav Papa was the next in line. Kol emas tahava amr lahu shmeitza. Anytime Rav Papa would quote them some kind of Amoraic statement, some kind of Torah, v'lo hava mistaber lahu, and they didn't think it was very logical, they didn't agree with Rav Papa, hava meramzi ahadadi, they would kind of be meramis to one another. They would go, you know, kind of give each other looks, like, this guy's not really holding where Rava was holding. Kind of like what you guys do in my share, only I think I don't pick up on it quite as well as Rav Papa does, because Chalosh Daite, he got very, very upset about it. He got very depressed about it. Rav Papa did. No, he didn't kill anybody. No, we're off on that. Akruya Bachalme. It was quoted to him in his chalom, in his dream. The following pasuk was quoted to him, which relates to our previous agadata. Va'achid shloshes haroim. And I will destroy these three shepherds. Now, in this case, these three shepherds are whom? Are Rav Huna bar Manoach, Rav Shmuel bar Idi, and Rav Chiya bar Vastina. So the pasuk that was being quoted to him via some malach or something or other, it was a vivid enough quote that Rav Papa took it seriously, that these three people were going to be dealt with because of their conduct, because of the way that they were acting towards Rav Papa. So anyway, Lamachar, the following day, he have a miftri mine, when after he finally gave shir and they were about to leave him, Amar Lahu, he said to them, Lizlu Rabbanan Bishalma. Rabbanan should go in peace. Now, there is also a girsa that you guys probably have. I don't know if it's a gilyon. You have a gilyon on the side of your gemaras? I have it, and I go with tziyunim. It says, Lizlu Rabbanan Lishalma. Okay? Now, there's Gemara in Brachos that says that if a person says Lishalom, then it's you should go in peace, meaning it's a positive thing. You're wishing him greetings. Lishalom means in peace.
We had it over at the here.
Lishalom as opposed to Bishalom?
Oh, no, excuse me. I did this year Moed Katan. It's the end of Moed Katan.
Ah, Moed Katan, okay. We're not going to be Moed Katan for Tynes Megillah, Moed Katan. It's going to be another year and a half, my friend. You're going to have to remind me when we get there.
The last stop.
Okay, very good. So last stop, we're talking, we're talking more than that. We're talking about a year and a half to 2 years. Okay, that's a shame. Anyway, if a person says Lech Lishalom, you should go in peace. So he's wishing them, good greetings. These are good tidings. You should go in peace. But if you're saying Lech Bishalom, you're saying see ya. Wouldn't want to be ya. Type of thing. So it's not such a good thing. So depending on what girsa you use over here will determine what Rabbanan's response to them was. Either you guys, I'll see you guys in the Olam HaEmes, I'll see you tomorrow.
David.
See you don't want to feel, is that?
What the?
See you don't.
That's intense.
So Lech Lishalom is bye-bye, and Lech Bishalom is bye-bye.
Yeah, right, exactly. Yeah. Yes.
Okay. Bye-bye. Okay. What you're talking about, Bishalom.
We should go to Ian on this issue.
Yes. Is there a footnote?
Bishalma or Lishalom. That's one question the second part of this footnote. The first part says, Rapapa blessed three rabbis to protect them from the harsh sentence implied by his dream. His blessing was, in effect, a plea that the decree be fulfilled by their mere departure from his presence, rather than from the world.
Uh-huh. Okay. Yeah. Second story, Rav Papa. Okay. The second story regarding Rav Papa says Rav Shimi Barashi have a shtich chamed Rav Papa. Rav Shimi Barashi was often by Rav Papa and have a makshele tuva. He would ask him many questions. That is, Rav Shimi Barashi would ask Rav Papa many questions. Yom Echad, on one day, Chazya Danafal Alape, he saw that Rav Papa fell on his face, meaning he was very sad, he was very destroyed. And he said, Shame, he heard Rav Papa saying, the Amar, Rachmana Litzlan Mikisufa Deshimi. He said, come on, Ribbono Shel Olam, give me a break. I am so embarrassed with the questions that Rav Shimi Barashi is asking me because I simply don't know how to answer them. So therefore, Rav Shimi Barashi's response to that was better than the three people who had preceded him, because Kabila Leh Shtikusa, the Sulu Akshile. Rav Shimi Barashi was makabel upon himself that he would be quiet from now on and no longer ask him questions because Rav Papa was so bad.
What?
Yeah, exactly. I don't think you want to hear my tachlin.
He didn't know.
He couldn't answer them. He couldn't answer the questions. He was starting to get really embarrassed. Like every question was like, I don't know. How many times can you say I don't know? I can say it a lot of times, but Rav Papa, Anyway.
Wait a minute.
Okay. What?
He was embarrassed over the questions,
he did not answer. He couldn't answer.
Wait. The text seems to say that he fell on his face to say Tachnun, which, when do you say Tachnun? After each, or after Mincha.
Okay, so what? What's your point? Where are we getting at?
Was it a natural process following Shemona Esrei of say Mincha? Or was it a Tachnun because he was embarrassed?
I don't think it was. Yeah, it was a prayer. He was falling on his face. I don't think we're talking about Tachnun here.
It wasn't the Tachnun. It was like a personal Tachnun.
Yeah, he was falling on his face. He was like, he was going like this, like Ari Bona Shalom.
That's probably how we should feel.
I don't think he fell on his face. I don't think he tripped over anything. I just think he
was in dismay.
Yeah, he was in dismay. It's a It's an expression. It's a bitui.
Okay, but all right. It says here.
Oh man, you're gonna quote me a footnote that's gonna shug me up here. What does it say? Is there a tachlis in the footnote?
No, there's not. It was custom then for one to literally fall on their face on the floor to say tachlis according to this footnote.
I don't know. Like Rav Papa himself, I don't know.
David.
All right. Yeah, it's the one thing we have in common.
If we see him on his face on the floor, listen carefully.
What's fascinating about these two stories anyway is that in neither of these cases does it shed such a positive light on Rav Papa's, I guess, Rav Papa's broad knowledge. Nevertheless, when it comes to the end of the Gemara, we're always saying, you know, we're always quoting off all the generations of Rav Papa, which is interesting that you know, we give such reverence to Rav Papa, but these two stories don't seem to. I don't know what it is. Maybe it says more about the people that were challenging him. But at any rate, I don't know. I don't know the answer. Anyway. I think he was Chalosh Daite is not an expression of humility. Chalosh Daite was really getting offended. He was really depressed. He was really offended. They were not. Yeah, I mean, they were Meramzi Hadadi. Rashi has the Girsa Achbu LaHadadi. They would look at one another, kind of like, you know, look at this guy. I don't know. I don't get that impression. If anybody has anything that they want to look up about this, I'd be happy to hear it. And anyway, we go on. So the Gemara says like this. If you remember the previous Gemara that we were discussing before we got on to the whole brisa about the Miriam and Aaron and Moshe ordeal, so the Gemara was saying, when it comes to matar, so matar can be brought because of the tzchus of one person. Parnasa has to be the tzchus of the rabbin, but matar can actually be brought because of the tzchus of the yachid, and even Reish Lakish. That was Rabbi Yochanan. But even Reish Lakish holds that matar b'shvil yachid. The Amar Reish Lakish, because Reish Lakish says, minayin lamatar b'shvil yachid. How do we know that matar can fall because of the... because of the zchus of one person, dechsiv, because the pasuk says as follows: Shalom Hashem matar. You should ask from Hashem rain, ba'is malkush, at the time of the late rains. Hashem osa chazizim. Hashem will make chazizim, which we'll see mean clouds. Umatar geshem yitain lahem, and he will bring geshem for them. Leish, for each man. So we see that it can be for the individual. V'l'ish esev basadeh. And esev, the grass in the field. So the Gemara is going to darsh in this whole pasuk, but we see from here clearly that le'ish, it can even happen for one person. Says the Gemara, yachol l'chol. I might think to say that rain only comes if everybody has the schus to bring it. Tamud lomer le'ish. So we see the pasuk says it can even be brought for one individual. V'tanya, and we have a brisa that it says, ila ish, if it can be brought for one person, yachol l'chol sadosav. I might think that it can only be brought for that one person if all of his fields are in need of such rain. Tamud lomer sadeh. So therefore the pasuk says, even for one field, if a man owns many fields, and only one of his fields is in need of rain, we would still, with his chus, Hashem would still bring the rain. Isadeh, and if it's for one field, yachol l'chol asadeh, I might think that Hashem is only going to bring the rain if the entire field needs it. Tamud lomer esef, even if it's for one blade of grass. Ki had Rav Daniel Bar Katina, like the story of Rav Daniel Bar Katina. Havali ahi ginsa, he had a certain garden. Kol yom, and every single day, have a azul v'sirla. He would go to the garden. He would look around the garden. He would look over his garden and his plants and his trees and his grass. And Amr, he would say, ha mishra bayamaya v'ha mishra lo bayamaya. This particular patch of my field needs rain, needs water, and this particular patch does not. V'asr mitra v'kamashki kol hecha d'miboy le'maya. And in fact, rain would come specifically to the places where he said needed water. So he was obviously on a very, very high level. But the point here is what?
Yeah, the H. Yosef gives a pshat the same thing of my sheep aruch marina goshen.
Yeah.
Right? So he says the Indian is a shgacha protest. My sheep aruch, let the wind blow all it wants to. But marina geshem, every single tipa of geshem will hit the blade of the grass it's supposed to hit.
Wow. You know. Beautiful. Beautiful. Yeah, in Akadami. We'll see, and we'll see a little bit later just how precise Hashem is with His reign. Anyway, says the Gemara, the pasuk said Hashem osa chazizim. My Hashem osa chazizim. Why does it say that He'll bring clouds, multiple clouds? One cloud should be enough. One big cloud. Amar Rav Yosi. This teaches you, Hashem is making many clouds because He has many tzaddikim, and for each tzaddik, He wants a specific cloud. It's reminiscent of the famous midrashim that say that, you know, like one malach cannot perform multiple tasks. So Hashem like brings one cloud for one shlichus, for one tzaddik, another cloud for another tzaddik. Anyway. So that's why it says chazizim. My chazizim, what are these chazizim? Now, I already explained that they're clouds, so I kind of gave it away.
Chazizim are specific kind of clouds, or clouds be
clouds? Oh, very good. That's what the Gemara is going to say.
Chazizim are Aramaic, or is it a Hebrew word?
I don't know if it's Hebrew word because it's in the pasuk, but I don't know its etymology, if that's what you're asking. What?
That's okay.
I appreciate it. Thank you. Could I even write exactly? This was not an SAT word, if that's what you're asking. Okay. My chazizim. So what are these chazizim? I'm Rav Yehuda, they're porchos. They're the blowing clouds. Okay? The moving clouds. I'm Rav Yochanan. We'll see what exactly the Gemara will say exactly what these are. I'm Rav Yochanan. Simon lamatar porchos, a good sign for rain or porchos. When you see that there are porchos, that there are these moving clouds in the sky, it's a good simon that there's going to be rain. So my porchos, what exactly are these porchos? I'm Rav Papa. Rav Papa says this one he did know. Eva klisha tusi eva smichta. It is a very light cloud that's underneath a very thick cloud. So whenever you see in the sky, you see these moving clouds, and they're moving extremely quickly. So those are that would be the porchos. Those would be the chazizim that we're referring to here. Amar Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda says an interesting tidbit over here. Nehila mekame mitra. If you have a very light rain, like a sprinkle, if it's just a sprinkle of rain, mekame mitra, that comes before the before the heavy rain, so asi mitra, that means that there is going to be a continued heavy rain, right? So whenever you have these small sprinkles, and then you have this heavy rain, so that's a good sign that the rain is going to last. It's going to be a very lasting heavy rain. But basar mitra, but if you have a heavy rain followed by a very light rain, so pasuk mitra, that's a sign that the rain is officially going to stop. Mikami mitra.
One more time.
If the light rain precedes the heavy rain, yeah, then the heavy rain will continue. If the light rain succeeds the heavy rain, then that's a sign that the rain is going to stop.
What's the chiddush? It's raining heavily. It decreases the amount of the intensity of the rain, so it's not going to rain anymore.
Yeah.
I understand the first one.
The first one, right? First one being a chiddush, but the second one is just push it. Yes.
All right, but haven't we seen cases where?
What's the?
I don't
understand.
Isn't that normal?
David, haven't we seen cases where light rain, heavy rain, light rain, and then heavy rain again,
and then light rain, and then heavy rain?
Next time it happens.
So what's your question is it's not true, but Lamaisa.
I don't know. I'm saying, I love
this
exceptions.
Okay.
meaning it repeats itself.
Oh, God. I don't know. I don't know the answer. I don't know.
I don't know.
No, I mean,
good.
But
I hear your question is really the same. Well, your question is that this doesn't seem to be a true klal, right? This is a general rule, I guess. The truth is, one has to ask himself, "Lamai nafkamina?" Like, you know, why does this really matter? We'll see a story in a few lines about Ula and how he was able to predict the rain based on this klal.
Yeah.
But I think that what the Gemara is saying here is a general rule that obviously has exceptions. You're right. I mean, you have heavy clouds followed by lighter, heavy rains followed by a lighter rain. That doesn't necessarily end the rain, because there could be rains coming.
And you can only predict it during the rain itself. It's not really predicting.
Right.
You predict something before it happens. While it is happening,
yeah. Yes, I agree. I don't know. I don't really know precisely lamai nafkamina, why Rav Yehuda is bringing this down. What we have to learn from this, I don't know.
Is this only Israel or is it all over the world?
You'll see from the next story that it applies to more than just Israel.
I don't really understand what the Gemara is telling us that we don't already know.
Well,
in spite of the fact that there could be alternating light and heavy rain, and that light rain after heavy might not mean it's stopping, and that light rain might not mean it's going to turn into heavy rain, what you would not see is light rain crescendoing into a heavy rain, heavier and heavier and heavier, that it just stops all of a sudden. That you would not see. You'd never see that. That's not teva.
I actually don't agree with that.
Yeah, it could happen.
Yeah, I mean, it happens. I mean, have you ever been to Baltimore? it happens all the time. We get a really light rain, then a really heavy rain for like 3 seconds, and then boom, and then it's just sunny outside.
Heavy rain yesterday for a few minutes, no?
What?
Yeah,
I was driving one time 15 years ago. I was driving in New York. This is kind of off the point. I was driving in, I don't know, it was a Van Wyck. I was one of these. And I was driving on one side of it, and it was totally fine, totally sunny. And on the other side, it was pouring rain. It was the wackiest thing. It's neither here nor there.
The sun shower thing, whatever it's called.
Yeah.
But that's different.
I don't know the answer to your question. I'm not bothered by your question, but I'm bothered by what exactly lamai nafkamina that Rav Yehuda is bringing this down. That's what I'm really concerned about. Whether it's in Metzias correct or incorrect, or whether it's a general klal that's only 60% right and 40% of the time, I don't really care about that. I just want to know why Rav Yehuda has to tell me this.
Maybe he's bringing it down for farmers. You know, it doesn't mean people like us,
right? Maybe it's just giving an etzah to farmers. You should know if you see that a light sprinkle is coming and then it's followed by a heavy rain, you might want to start laying down the seeds as quickly as you can. I don't know. It's his question. I agree. Anyway, the Gemara continues. Mikami mitra asi mitra. When the sprinkles precede the heavy rain, there's going to be a heavy rain. Simanech, the simon to this is mehulta. The simon to this is flour. Is that when you sift flour, so first the very, very, very fine flour comes out, and then you get the thicker flour, then you get the real solas. So that's a sign of the lighter rains followed by the heavier rains. First you're going to get the light flour, then you're going to get the real flour that you want. The Buster Mitra Pasuk Mitra, but like we said, when the sprinkles succeed the heavier rain, that means that there is going to be a stoppage to the rain entirely. The Simanei Charya De'izi. It is the dung of the goats. Dung of the goats first comes out. This I cannot confirm nor deny. But the dung of the goats. This is the way it comes out. I don't know. If you guys want to ask a farmer,
that's your homework.
The way it comes
year.
Out of the goat is that it is that it first comes out first it comes out heavy and then it comes out light. I don't know. Again, there's a lot here I don't know. I also don't know. I also don't know why the Gemara has to bring this analogy. I don't know what it means for us. What does it do for us that I have this simen? What?
Yeah, why specifically?
It's easy to remember.
Why specifically?
It's easy to remember what? Like, what am I remembering when I'm seeing the goat, like, defecate? What do I care about the rain? Like, what is that? What does that trigger for me? Well, it clearly is not as important to us. I just I want to understand why the
changes from heavy to light before season.
Okay, it's not.
Ula ikla la Bavel. Ula went up to Bavel.
You have to realize that this was the normal part of their life back then. I mean,
what?
They raised goats and sheep. And,
I understand. I mean, the goats still do what they do.
They knew these things. This was normal for them.
Right, I understand. But why?
If it's, well, so what's the question? Why we're okay with this?
Why is the Gemara telling me this?
I feel like there's a
why? In general, why is Rav Yehuda telling me this principle? And then why is it followed by these simanim? Why do these... Are these simanim really going to help me to remember? In other words, if I think about a goat's... The way the goat goes to the bathroom, what does that do for me? Well, it tells me what? What does it tell me? Yeah, it's gonna stop, it tells me it's going to stop.
Recall
that when the rain falls...
You can say yourself, oh, it's the sprinkling out. Oh, I forgot what that means.
Yeah. Okay, okay.
Does that mean it's going to happen this way or it's going to happen that way?
Right, okay, fine.
It's just think of goats.
Think of goats.
I thought in every Maaser of Kodesh, there's supposed to be a logical parallel between what Hashem obligates us and what we see in nature. Mm-hmm. So maybe this is supposed to be that logical parallel.
Maybe
you're supposed to see that this is how the rains work. If you want to exist in the nature, and Hashem wouldn't tell you in the Torah, this would be the problem.
I think we should all purchase a goat and then come back in the weekend.
Okay, fine. I'm all for it. Here we go. Ula ikla la Bavel. Ula went up to Bavel and Chaza porchos. Guess what he saw? He saw these porchos. He saw these very light clouds. Amar lahu, he said, because there are light clouds out there, he said, panumani, you should get rid of your, you should clear out your kalim, because back then the kalim were made of these, this earthenware, it's going to melt in the rain. Right, it was going to be completely destroyed in the rain. So he said, clear out anything outside, any of your kalim outside, bring them in. Tahashta asimitra, because rain's going to come. I see that the chazizim are going to come. The chazizim are here. That means rain. Lesof, but in the end, lo asimitra. Ula was wrong. There was no rain. Now, Ula is a big gavra. Ula, as we've seen in many other gemaras, Ula's words are very authoritative. So why was he wrong here? So Amr, he said, Ki hechi de meshakri bablai, hachi meshakri mitrayhu. Just like the Babylonians are liars, so too their reign is lying. In other words, kind of a mida keneg and mida. The Marsha points out, actually, that we had a Gemara in Chesamid Beis that says that ein hagashamim neetzarim, why do rains stop? Bishvil poskei tzedakah barabim, the ein nosnim, because of those people who pledge to give tzedakah and they don't actually give it. So what Ula is saying is, the rain was supposed to come. The reason why the rain didn't come is because we have poskei tzedakah barabim, the ein nosnim. So we have meshakri babloi, we have the Babylonians who are lying. In other words, this is a... These chazizim and the lack of rain is incriminating evidence that there's something wrong with the Babylonians here. What? Right, exactly. There's incriminating evidence that there's something wrong with the Babylonians because it was supposed to rain, and Ula knows, the chazizim come, that means rain. If it didn't rain, that's incriminating against Bavel. Anyway, there's also an Ein Yaakov on this that says from a previous Gemara that we learned, I think it was Chesam and Aleph, that says that Geshem comes because of Bali Amana, because of people who are trustworthy. So what he's saying is, just like the Babylonians are liars, meaning they're not trustworthy, so too the clouds are not trustworthy, meaning the reason why the rain didn't come, is because of the Bale Amana. There are no Bale Amana among the Babylonians here. Anyway, that's his criticism of Bavel. He has further criticism, though, in case you were wondering. Here he goes. Ula iklala Bavel. Ula again came to Bavel. I guess this this story didn't prevent him too much.
Because Bavel was the king of Torah. We're talking about the Goyim.
I don't know.
Because again, I think Bubble was considered even greater than the Eretz Yisrael. So we're saying they weren't.
Maybe it was a particular town in Bavel. I don't know. That's a good question. But your question is going to be only strengthened by the following story. Thank you for the segue. Ula ikla la Bavel. Ula went up to Bavel. Chazi mali tzine da tamri bezuzah. He saw that they were selling in that town. They were selling a basket full of dates for one zuz, which is incredible. It's a great price to get a basket full of dates for just one zuz. Amar, so he said, I don't understand. Mali tzine da dusha bezuzah. You can get a basket full of honey because you get honey out of dates. You can get a basket full of honey for a zuz. Ubabloi loaski baraisa. And the Babylonians are not learning Torah. Meaning, they've got all of this zonos at them. They've got so little to spend. They've got so much money now because they're saving on all this food. So they should have all this time to learn Torah. But there's no limud Torah here. So he's criticizing Bavel by saying, your mizonos are so cheap. But what are you doing with the time that you're saving in making mizonos? Because you're not learning enough Torah relative to the fact that your mizonos are so cheap. So he says, so the Gemara goes on, and there's probably much to be learned from here, but the Gemara goes on to say, Belalia, at that night, Sa'aruhu, he had terrible stomach cramps, Ula did, because of all the dates that he was eating that he purchased for a zuz, he had tremendous stomach cramps, and Amar, so therefore he said, Malitzina de Sakina Bezuza, the Babylonians can purchase a basket full of knives for a zuz, Ubabloi Aski Baraisa, and the Babylonians are learning Torah. So in other words, what he's saying is, what I thought was such a great deal, and they were getting this mizonos, such great mizonos, for so cheap, and therefore it should have availed them to the time to learn Torah. Instead, we see that their mizonos are actually quite nasty, and causes you a lot of pain, and despite the fact that they have such pains from the mizonos that they have, they still manage to find some time to learn Torah. So this is kind of al tadun es chavercha al shetagia bimkomo type of thing. Things might look grand on the outside, but we don't really know what people are actually going through. So when Ula got there, he said, wait a minute, you can see you can get a basket full of dates for a zuz. I don't understand why more people aren't learning. But when push came to shove, and he was actually in the city and partaking of what the city has to partake, he realized that they're actually quite great people because of the circumstances in which they live. And that is a Musar Haskel to everybody. We don't know what we don't know. We don't know what people are going through. We think that people have these...
Was there anything else available in the country besides dates?
I think it's an example. Good question.
No holy
Here we go. Says Gemar Tanya. Okay, the Gemara goes on to a slightly different topic. Here we're going to have a machlokas between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yehoshua as to where the Mei Geshamim come from. Where does Geshem come from? What is its source? Its original source. Rabbi Eliezer, Aymer, Kola Olam Kulam, Mimembe Ukainu Sushose.
It comes from the water.
It comes from the ocean. It comes from the ocean water. That's what Rabbi Eliezer says. All the mayim of the world is originated from the ocean water. Shenemar, as it says in the Torah, ve'ed yalem in ha'aretz v'hishkas kol pnei adama. The cloud came up from the aretz. In other words, there was evaporation from the ocean, came up to clouds. The clouds formed. Within the clouds came Geshem, and then Vihishka is Kopnei Adama. So it originated with the with the Meu Kainus, with the ocean water, came up to form clouds, and then within the clouds was the rain, and it sprinkled rain onto the people. So that's where we know that it actually came from the ocean. That's where its origin was. But Omar Rabbi Yoshua says, I disagree. V'halo Meu Kainus Meluchen Hei. Ocean water is very salty. So if you want to tell me that the original source of Mei Geshamim is salt water, then how can it be that the salt water going up, forming clouds, would bring down rain? That wouldn't be able to satiate any of the zroim, any of the seeds. We wouldn't be able to get any vegetation. We wouldn't get any fruits, any vegetables. Nothing would grow if it was salt water. So it's not that the salt water of the ocean is coming up, forming the clouds, and then bringing down rain. But rather, the rainwater is coming from somewhere else. Yes. What's your question?
No matter what, it's H2O. It's H2O. Not a different compound. Yes. It's
not a different compound.
It's not a different compound.
That's exactly true.
And when it evaporates,
and then it's droplets.
It's regular H2O without mellow.
This is correct. I don't know how the science works in this, or whether this is to be explained not even literally, because it's true when the evaporation happens, so the salt in the salt water remains in the ocean, and the water goes up as regular clear water. So I don't know how that works. I can't explain this, you know, literally. I don't know the answer. But that's what Rabbi Eliezer says.
This is a machlokas between the two of them, right?
Yes, it is. It's a machlokas between the two of them. Rabbi Yeshua says, I disagree. It produces salt water, which is difficult to understand. Amar lo, Rabbi Eliezer answers in response to Rabbi Yeshua, so he seems to agree with Rabbi Yeshua.
And me.
And no, not with you. He agrees with Rabbi Yeshua's premise that there's salt water going up to form clouds. And he says, Mamaskin ba'avin, that the water becomes sweetened in the clouds.
That's where it comes.
But that's not true. What? That's like not true. It's not true that it becomes sweet. What?
Like desalinization.
Right. Desalinization is in the clouds, but it isn't true. The desalinization doesn't happen in the clouds. So I'm not really sure, literally, scientifically, how to explain this Gemara. I don't know. Talk to your local
Orthodox scientist.
Physicist.
George Fishback.
Although, I don't know if you remember him. George Fishback.
I don't know.
George Fishback. Who was he?
He was a weatherman in Los Angeles for many years.
Never knew of him.
Storm Field.
Rabbi Yeshua disagrees and says, Kula olam kulam mimayim ha'elyonim hushose. Actually, the water comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. So all the Mei Geshem comes from Hashem. And that's where it originates. It does not originate in the Meu Kainus. Shnei Mark, as the pasuk says, Limtara Shamayim Tishtamayim. You should drink water from the rain of the heavens. So the rain is coming from the heavens. Elamani Makayim Ve'edi Alim in Aretz. Okay, so then Rabbi Yeshua says, what am I going to do with Rabbi Eliezer's pasuk that says that the cloud is formed from the ocean water, that the water evaporates from the ocean water, creating the cloud, and the cloud then creates Geshem. What do I do with that? Melame, that teaches you Shahananim Biskabrim Va'olim Narakiya. What that's saying is not that the Eid Yalem in Aretz, that the cloud is formed from the waters of the Ukainus, from the ocean water, but rather the Eid Yalem in Haaretz, the cloud goes up from the ground, not literally from the ground, but from the land, meaning from our world. It goes up to the Mayim Elyonim. So the clouds go up metaphysically. They go up to Shamayim, Uposkan Pien, and they open their mouths, Kinod, like a vessel, Umakablin Mei Matar, and from there they're Makabal Mei Matar. So like he said, Limtar Shamayim Tishtamayim, the waters actually come from the Ribono Shel Olam. And how is that? Through what venue does the water come? It comes through the clouds. The clouds go up to Shamayim. The Shamayim supply the water, and then the clouds are makabel the water and sprinkle down the water to the aretz. That's how Rabbi Yeshua understands everything that's going on. Shenemar, as it says, Yizaku Matar Le'edo. He pours water, he pours rain to the clouds, to his clouds. So we see that the clouds are actually makabel the rain, and then Umenu Kavosein, and the clouds are they have holes in them. It's like a sieve, kichvara, like a sieve. ubos umachash v'usmayim al gabi karka, and then they come down and they sprinkle water onto the land. So it's a very beautiful process. You have the clouds going up, opening themselves up to the matar hashamayim. Hashem then deposits the rainwater into the clouds, which work like a sieve, and they allocate the rains to the people. It's a beautiful thing.
I think there's a sheet that's that the ones that hold that it comes from the ocean, whether it's the Pacific Ocean or the Atlantic Ocean. It's like one ocean it comes from.
Really?
Yeah, I heard that from somewhere. I don't know if that's...
The Mayu Kainos is like a general ocean water. It doesn't really specify. All right. There it is. There's your homework. Thank you very much. Shanemar, as it says, Chash v'smayim avesh chakim. The avesh chakim, the clouds of the heavens, sprinkle water. And so that's how he learns it. Further, he says, "Ve'ein bein tipa letipa ala kamale nimach." The distance between one droplet of rain and the next droplet of rain is like a hair's breadth. So we see like the incredible precision of Hashem's rainwater. I mean, it's an unbelievable thing. I mean, when it comes to snow, there's no snowflake that's similar to the next snowflake. Every snowflake is different in some way.
But they're all like six-sided or something?
I think the same.
Like
all,
I don't know. They put that under a microscope.
What?
I heard they put snowflakes under a microscope and they're not all individual. Sorry.
They're not all individual.
Pluto's not a planet either. It's tough.
Interesting. Okay.
No, another planet was discovered. Pluto was kicked out, but something replaced it as the...
Yeah.
Yes,
still,
like, I heard about that.
Pluto, to my childhood.
Pluto, just don't respect...
Nevertheless, the rainwater is an incredible thing, and that's what we are to get out of this. Says the Gemara Viter.
It's a planetary object. It's not a planet.
Okay. I'm really sorry to interrupt. This is fantastic.
Can you equate...
Yes, you can. Lelamdecha.
Can you equate... The way this describes the clouds and the sieve and the rain.
Can I just preempt this by saying I don't know?
Like the Kohen's bracha, you know, bringing down bracha from Shemayim.
You love to do this, don't you? You love it.
Yes.
We can equate them. We can equate the two. They are very, very. They're on the same plane. It's the same thing. I don't know. I have no idea.
No, you could come to understand.
I understand.
The same way.
Oh God!
To the moon, Simcha. To the moon.
Here we go. Somehow we got to get through this stuff. I don't know how we're going to do it.
Good luck.
Don't take.
Lelamdecha. This teaches you shegadol yom hageshamim, the day of rain, is as great kiyom shenivru bo shemayim va'aretz, as the day that the shemayim va'aretz were created. Shenemar, as it says in the pasuk, Ose gadol sadein cheker. Hashem does great things. Without that great unfathomable things, they're not even understandable. Uksiv hanosei matar al pnei aretz. The next pasuk says that he places rain on pnei aretz. So rain is unfathomable. Uksiv lahalan, and then it says later halo yadatim lo shamato lokei olam Hashem borek tzos haolam. Hashem created the world, the different sides of the world. Ein cheker l'sfunasa. There is no understanding his level of knowledge, his level of understanding. So we see cheker when it comes to Briyas Olam. We see cheker when it comes to Geshamim. So there's a cheker gzereshava to teach you that Yom HaGeshamim is as great as the days in which the world was created.
Yom HaGeshamim meaning every time it rains?
Yeah, every time it rains is as wonderful, as great, as unfathomable. We can't even appreciate the greatness in the rain.
What are these kokaviot and these kefil?
What? Who?
Stars. Asterisks and the double asterisks.
I don't have any asterisks. I don't have anything. But you're saying besides Mark McGuire and Sammy Sosa's home runs? I don't know. I don't see any. I don't have any like that.
We have two. And then it's double.
Don't forget. Hey, don't forget about Barry Bonds.
Oh, I didn't see that. I was looking for it. Okay.
Gemara goes on.
It's almost over.
Within this machlekes, Rabbi Elazar of Yeshua, the Gemara goes on and says, "Kaman azla hadachsev, Who does the following pasuk, to whom does it sound more like? Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yehoshua. The pasuk says, "Mashke harim me'ali osav." Hashem pours rain from me'ali osav, from his heights or from his attic, so to speak. Va'amar Rabbi Yochanan, and Rabbi Yochanan understands this pasuk me'ali osav shel Hakadosh Baruch Hu, from the alios of Hakadosh Baruch Hu. From where he is, Hashem pours the rain. Who does that go like? Come on, Rabbi Yeshua. That goes like Rabbi Yeshua, who says that Mei Geshamim come from where? From Shemayim. Because according to Rabbi Eliezer, where they came from the Aretz, it wouldn't be Mashke Harim Mei Ali Yosef. It would be Mashke Harim from the Tachtonim. So anyway, what does Rabbi Eliezer do with this pasuk? Rabbi Eliezer says, yeah, Kevin the Salki Lahasam Mashka Me'al Yosef Karilahu. Yeah, he says, because the rainwater originates from the ocean water brings up the rain. Since it's bringing it up, it's saying Mashka Har Me'al Yosef, from the heavens it comes down, because it does originate in the ground. It just goes up to the heavens. He's not denying that it goes up to the heavens. Everybody says it goes up to the heavens, but he understands the pasuk Mashke Harim Me'alios Av is not from the Alios of Hashem, but from the Alios of the ground. The Alios of the ground of the sky. So it goes up to the sky and then it comes back down. That's the way he understands it. The Ilot Hemahachi, because if you're not going to say that, then there's another pasuk that would stump you. Because the pasuk says, Avak Ve'afar Min HaShamayim. In the curses that we're going to read next week, Be'ezus Hashem in Bechukosai, it says, Hashem will place for you Avak Ve'afar. I'm sorry, this one's in Dvarim?
Yeah.
Okay. I apologize. Where is this? Lamed. See, this is the downside to the Oz V'Hadr Gemara. You don't have... This one's in Dvarim. Okay. There's no parallel in Bechukosai to this type of thing? Okay, but it doesn't quote this pasuk. Okay, fascinating. Anyway,
but you had the right idea.
Thank you, I appreciate it. Okay, very good. I need a pat on the back.
You're
this is like
doing well.
Yeah, this has been a very rough Papa night for me. Okay, so Avak Vafar Min HaShamayim. So Hashem will place for you Avak Vafar Min HaShamayim. Right? That the dust and the dirt is going to come from Shemayim. But dust and dirt doesn't come from Shemayim. Heichem Yishkachasa. How would you find that? Elas, Rabbi Eliezer says, how do we understand that? Kevan, the medali lahasam, min haShemayim kariyale. That's because when the wind blows the dust, so it goes up to the sky, meaning the dust gets blown all over the place, and it looks as if it's coming from the sky. Really, it's coming from the ground. What?
There's no real dust in the sky, otherwise.
There's no dust in the sky, exactly. Dust doesn't come in the sky. Dust is in the ground. But the fact that the Ruach blows it and it's coming down, ultimately it's blown up and then comes back down. Yeah, right. There's a reference to the Shiputzim. Okay, very good. Very good. So the Gemara goes on. Kaman az lahada amar Rabbi Chanina. According to whom does the following line of Rabbi Chanina come in? The pasuk says, "Kones kaned mehayam nosim beotzros tohomos." Kones kaned mehayam, the mehayam, the waters of the sea, which I think is a reference here to the Kriyas Yam Suf. Kones kaned, they all gathered together like a wall. So the mehayam gathered like a wall, as we know that Kriyas Yam Suf was like two walls. So kones kaned, the mehayam gathered like a nade, like a wall. And nosin ba'otzros tohomos. He placed bounty in the storehouses from the tohomos. So says Rabbi Chanina on this pasuk.
What's tohomos?
The depths, from the ground. Mi garam la'otzros shis malubar. What caused the otzros, the storehouses, to be filled with all this grain? Tohomos. It's in fact the tohomos, the depths. So in other words, bracha comes from the depths. It doesn't come from the heights, it comes from the depths. Who does that sound like? To Rabbi Eliezer. That sounds like Rabbi Eliezer, who says that Mei Geshamim ultimately, really, originates from the ground. So this goes according to him. V'Rabbi Yehoshua. What does Rabbi Yehoshua say about this pasuk? It sounds pretty good, like Rabbi Eliezer. He says, Ahu b'briyaso shel olam. No, this is talking about Briyaso shel olam, meaning in the Briyas of the olam, Hashem was Kones Kaned Mehayam. He took all the waters and he gathered them together and he placed for them a boundary, which is the beaches essentially, and the harim, the mountains, surrounded the waters, and that's how you understand the pasuk. The pasuk is meant to say that this is not talking about when Hashem did Kriyas Yam Suf, but rather when Hashem, during Briyas HaOlam, when Hashem gathered all the waters and separated them into their different into their different places, and the depths made them into different storehouses, so to speak. That's the way Rabbi Yeshua understands the pasuk, and we will stop here.
Tough crowd.
Good job.
Tell you.